thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the sea, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my
to rain down this morning. Amen. So we can let the musicians go in their seats. Amen. Always appreciate the song service, ushering in the Holy Spirit and by praise and worship and preparing our hearts for service. So welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. We go ahead and open our Bibles. I'm going to open to Matthew chapter 6. And Sister Hannah, who's filling in for Sister Vicki. She'll have that. And on the second scripture that I have on that card, I think I put 5:18. It should be 5:17. I gave you the wrong one. So maybe sometime during service you'll be able to correct that. You love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. So this is Jesus speaking about prayer. Verse 5, and he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And after this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let's bow our hearts to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this opportunity this morning, Lord, to be in your house with your people. And Lord, we still have freedoms in this land where we can assemble together. We see the dark clouds on the horizon, Lord. We know that Satan has evil determined in his heart, and he's going to carry out what your word has already spoken and determined. But Lord, we also know that in the midst of all that, that you have a place for your people. And Lord, it's that place that we flee to this morning. Lord, into thy word, into the promises, and this place of safety, Lord, that you have provided for us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning, and we just want to turn our hearts to you now and ask God that you'd come and speak to us out of your word. Lord, that you would take in all the places where we are not sufficient, and Lord, that you would make that sufficiency, God, that it would be said and done the way you would have it said and done this morning. And then, God, that you'd be in the hearts of your people, and you would be the ear that would hear, Lord, in each one of us today. We commit this time into your hands and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. It's a beautiful day outside. Just about the first one we've had in a while on weekends. So I'm going to try not to be real long-winded this morning. But so, you know, that a whole lot of that depends on y'all. Don't. I really mean this. So anyway, we're going to try and not be real long. But now, this may sound like a paradox, but I've got about 44 quotes I want to read this morning. So, but they're short quotes. So this morning, I'm just going to title this A Call to Prayer. I want to talk about prayer just for a moment. Not a whole lot of things, just, and the reason why I have that many quotes is because they are quotes that Brother Branham, where he talked about prayer, and they come out of this little booklet I picked up the other day, and it's on quotes from him about prayer. And I just went through the first half of the book, and I kind of marked the ones that really stood out to me, and they stand out for a reason. And so maybe the Lord allowed me to share with you as I read through those a little bit later why those stand out to me. They have powerful points to them. And we find out, as we read this, you'll find out that a great deal of what we really need in our life today is more prayer. Right. And so there's got to be a reason why Satan fights us so much on that. And of course, we know that intellectually, but we would desire that the Holy Spirit would drop into our hearts what we need to help us, help us make that extra mile in our prayer lives. So we're going to title it A Call to Prayer. And so, have you ever wondered how you know what a turtle is, a little bitty, whatever size they are, but the turtles we have around here. You ever wonder how a turtle around here finds a mate? You know, you can walk around through the woods all day long and you might see one turtle, maybe, right? And if you do see one, you might walk the rest of the day and you might not see another one. And you might cover miles. So how does this turtle find a mate? I mean, he's got all those miles, and you know how fast they are, right? They're just lickety-split. So, no, they crawl along. They're just so slow. And I've been through the woods for hundreds and hundreds of hours, and I've never heard a turtle hollering for his mate. You know what I'm saying? He don't call out. He don't put up some big flag or something like that. How does he find his mate? Right?
But we know he does. And so the reason why I brought that up is because we find out that God has a provided way for everything. I could probably pick, if I did a little research, I could probably pick another animal that would be even more bewildering as to how he could find a mate. But I'm familiar with that one because I've fought that for many years when I see one. Well, fella, you know, and believe it or not, I have been out in the woods before and seen two of them together. So I obviously found where a mate, one had found his mate and was together. But you don't see that very often. And so the point I want to make with all that is that God has a provided way for every, I don't care who you are, creation of God, for all the species, God has a provided way. And they may not make some call like Brother Bram talked about. He would be out there and he'd hear the elk bugle and his mate off down in the holler will holler back. Well, they could easily find one another hollering like that, you know. And so they can move quite a bit of territory. But, you know, how can a turtle do that? A turtle can't do that, but yet God has a provided way. So I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they leave a scent trail, if they just, whatever it is, but somehow or another they find one another. And so I like to refer to that as that there's deep calling to the deep, because that's what he was referring to when he talked about the elk, when one would call and he would have the other one call down there. And he said, he was talking about deep calling, how that he enjoyed nature and stuff. But in reality, that elk calling to its mate, that was deep calling to the deep, right?
Right.
And so God has a way for those things to happen. And in reality, what it is that we're following in deep calls to the deep. Now, most of the time we refer to that as something calling us to God and him calling to us and so forth. But as I've just mentioned, I believe that also works in a person when a person is seeking their mate for life. And then when they finally find that one that they are going to spend their whole life here on earth together, that what has actually happened there is the deep in the heart of the husband or the man and the deep in the call of the wife, and they find one another. That deep call has brought them together because whether they believe it or not, they're out searching, they're out looking. Something, every one of us have the desires that call out for something, and depends on who you are and what's inside is what it is that it's calling for. But there's something always calling in us, calling out for our destination of where we're to be and who we're to be with. And ultimately, that's the Christian calling out for God. But it happens in a natural type and spiritual. And so husband seeking a wife or wife seeking a husband and turtles seeking their mates, it's all still a deep call to the deep. And it speaks of something that goes higher than just intellectual thinking. It's something that God has put in place, and it's the way things work. And so this animals, no matter who it is, you know, when they get together, or husband and wife, when they finally get together, once they're together, they communicate. And so, because if you really think about it, that's one of the worst things that can happen in marriage is bad communication. If they don't have communication, there's a lot of divorces because of that. And, you know, people, this world teaches you to go after someone that's maybe got money, or go after somebody that looks really good on the outside. You know, a guy chases after a girl because he's beautiful. But I want to ask you a question: which is more powerful, the beauty that she has on the outside, or the character or lack of character in her heart, or vice versa? Which one's more powerful? And I will tell you that what's in the heart is more powerful, even though a man's searching after the outward. What's in the heart is more powerful, because he will seek after the beauty queen, marry the beauty queen, and a short while later he can't stand her,
right,
because of the character in her heart. And the woman that he thought he couldn't live without, he has to get away from her, because the character of the heart rules. Right? So right up front, young people seek after the character of the heart, not what one looks like on the outside, because that on the outside fades away. But once a couple gets together, whether it's man and woman or even animals, they get together, they begin to communicate with each other, and there becomes a beautiful exchange of the attributes of the male and the attributes of the female, And they begin together. They have an attraction. The deep's called to the deep. They've got together, and now they're together, and they begin to interact. And what's happening there is there's attributes that the male has that the female needs, and the attributes that the female has that the male needs to draw from. And so as each one have a deep calling into deep that's brought them together, now they have attributes that each other need. And that, and so all the male can do is express what he is, but it just so happens that what he is something that the wife needs or the female needs, and vice versa. She just expresses what she is, and that just happens to be what he needs. So there's this attraction where they come together. And it's an exchange of these attributes and expressions, and each one's drawing from that. And what happens when they do that, there's a oneness that happens. They become one. So what you see is that they come together, and there's a mingling of all their attributes, and acting as one unit, moving to and fro. They have the same dwelling place, they have the same ideas, they have the same, they have agreed together somehow, they've come together and they're in agreement to what life holds for them, and they want to share it together. So they just mold together and they become actually one unit, okay? And so then, that's why the scriptures tell us, you know, that when male and female created them and called their name Adam, he didn't really need two names necessarily. He called their name Adam because they working as one unit, right? And so that's a husband and wife become one unit. And so she, her desire is what his is, right? Fundamental things. Of course, the world don't believe that, but her desires, she just molds right into his desires. And so they're communicating together. And if you realize, you know, the male is the authority of the house. And that's why it's represented by Christ, and Christ is the Word, and the Word is written. You can't change it when it's written on paper. It's locked. It's law. Christ is the Word, see? And so we come along, and just through our interactions with Him and us being what He needs and Him being what we need, and then our will becomes this Word, right? So then once our will becomes this Word, we become one unit with Him, so much so that when people see us, they see Him. So we become one. But the reason why I'm bringing all that to attention, they're saying all that, is because that all happens when they come together. It's a communication and a sharing of attributes and a oneness that comes from that. And that would never happen if you didn't communicate. If a man and woman were attracted to one another, and then he'd come together and just sit down beside each other and not talk, then what kind of relationship would that be? Right? They sit together and just... they don't talk. They don't know what's on each other's heart. They don't know what the desire of one is for the, you know. So, you know, and you know this, of those that have been around together for a while, that when a man and woman have been together in marriage for a while, they begin to think the same thoughts that one another do. And many times I'll be thinking something, my wife will say it, or vice versa, or something like that, you know, or it's just like you kind of get to know one another. You do. And so they also say you kind of start looking like one another. And I don't know about that, but I think I've seen that a few times, but I don't know how I would look like her or she would look like me. But anyway, you hang out long enough with someone, you'll start acting like them, right? And so you can see that when your kids hanging out with their buddies. If they got a bad apple in the bunch, you're going to see it in your own child, right? If he hangs out with them. You see that, because when they're hanging together, they kind of influence one another. And so a husband and wife, when they hang together, they influence one another, and they begin to act like one another. Why? They're working as one unit to accomplish one thing, and there's fruit that comes from that unity. They have offspring that comes from that. Right. The male and female turtle, they have offspring that is a product of the fact that they had a deep call to the deep that brought them together. And that offspring is just as ordained as they were.
Right.
And I say that because Brother Ram talked about how that when God, way back many generations, would bring your great-grandpa and grandma together and this one there together, they'd come down and then they'd have children and bring these together, and he would have his hand in the fact of who and what was it to bring you on the scene. Right? He'd have his hand in that, ordained to be formed, to be with the characteristics and the natures and the things that he had in you. And so, but all that happens because when they get together, there's a reciprocating communication between the attributes and the thoughts and the feelings of one and the other. They all blend together, and the needs of both are all met as they go forward together as one unit. And this is life. This is how life comes from these things. And so they do that by communicating and by that interaction. Now, communion, we know what communion is. We talk about communion here in service, and we have communion in service, which I want to have communion pretty soon. But communion is to communicate. But Brother Branham was telling us that when Christ, when he is, you take the bread and the wine, that Christ is giving of himself. It's a natural ordinance that we do of something that takes place spiritually, that when Christ comes down and he wants to become part of you, he wants to become in communion with you. And so, and to commune is to communicate. So you find out that the woman should know what's on the man's heart, and the man should know what's in the woman's heart. And so Christ knows what's on the heart of his people, but his people ought to know what's on his heart.
Amen.
Right? Now, how are they going to do that if they don't communicate?
Right.
Now, we have his word here, but it's not just a written, just not the letter. The letter killeth, right? But there's a spirit that's got to get involved in our hearts and cause a reciprocation between that written letter word that's law. But, you know, that written letter just in itself kills. But once it's been anointed by the Spirit of God in our lives, then that written letter becomes something living within us. And that's because there is a spiritual communion that's taking place between us and the Word, or us and Christ. Okay? And so, without communication, look what happens to the marriage. So what kind of church is it that doesn't communicate with Christ? They don't read his word, and they don't pray, but they have everything else going on in the church. They have rock concerts, and they have whatever else, and all kinds of programs. What kind of church is that? I'll tell you, it's one that he's probably not going to hang around with.
Right?
Right? And so, you know, he has a right to put away a wife who won't be wife to him. He does. Christ does. And he's done that. You can see that where King Ahasuerus put away his wife because she wouldn't come when he called for her. So you see that. So these things I'm talking about, it's the same thing with Christ and his church. That there's a deep calling to the deep that draws us together. I remember back in Pentecost, and I remember there's got to be more than what Pentecost had. I had a desire to know these things and to have this. I've told you before, I remember as a sinner, when my wife and I first got married, and we bought the house up here on 20th Street, and she was still working. She worked evenings. And I remember sitting on the couch, and I had gotten mailed a thing and got from, I forget, Armstrong or somebody, I forget who it was, but anyway, it was a booklet called The Four Horses of the Apocalypse, and I was reading that book, and you imagine what they say, but I remember sitting on the couch reading the seals in the Bible and asking, what does this mean? I want to know what this means, and I hadn't given my heart to the Lord or nothing, but I was interested. I wanted to know. And I knew back in Pentecost that they didn't have what it, so there was a deep calling, and many of you know the same thing. You have something that was calling for more.
Right.
So that's God drawing you. He's already placed something within you, drawing you to his revelation in this hour, that you might come and be encounter with him. But once you're together with him, then you shut up. You don't communicate with him. You don't read. You don't pray. No, that's not what you do. Once you come together, that's when you really interact and become in this oneness, this relationship of oneness where you're acting as one unit. So we're not going about spending our time during the day doing our own will unless it fits his will, right?
Right.
So as Brother Branham said, that the wife has a duty to the husband, and we, the church, has a duty to the word and to prayer and to the things of God. And so It's these natural type spiritual, the same thing it is in the natural it is with Christ, as he would draw us together and we would begin to come together, act together as one unit and communicate, be in communion with him. And to become one with each other when you communicate. And we've said this before, you know, it's kind of interesting when people get together in fellowship, food is always involved in that, food and drink. Seems like that's, you know, a lot of times they get together. And when deals are made, it's over dinner and so forth in political affairs and all that. But it's all speaking of communion, because when two people are close together, when you care about somebody, you want to make sure that they experience the good things of life with you. Right. And if you like to sit down to a good meal, you want your friend to sit down with a good meal with you. Right?
Right.
When we find a good restaurant, we tell our friends about it because we want them to have that good experience. Mm-hmm. See? When I find something that I know to be truth in life, I want to tell you about it, right? And you the same way. And so why? Because that's communion, trying to commune so that we can all become one unit, enjoying the same things and enjoying life together, and maybe even go on vacation together once in a while, you know. But you love those people that you're around. And you want to share these things with them. Well, the only way you can do that is to communicate, right? Communication is more than just verbal. It's in actions. It's in attitudes and sorts of things. So there's more to just being in communion with God than just I'm a Christian, you know, and once in a while I read the Bible, or on Sunday I read the Bible, and that's not what it is. When a husband and wife are happily married, they have an interaction that's a daily thing. I've said many times that my wife, she will cook meals for me. She washes my cold clothes. I can come in and find a nice, neat stack of laundry that's been washed and dried and folded for me. Those are all ways that she ministers to me. And those things are great. But I will tell you that if I didn't have communion with her in her heart, those things wouldn't mean anything to me. Right?
Right.
What's more important is what, like I said, what's in the heart. And I didn't consider myself anything super handsome, but let's say that my wife and I were just the beauty queens and the handsome, you know. Well, we're not now. I'm not. She still is, but I'm not. But my point is that as the natural on the outside fades away, something's got to hold you. And it can't be the outward, because the outward is becoming weaker each day. And so, you know, I got a tummy that's showing a lot nowadays, you know. Well, if my wife was looking at that, she'd probably be pushing me out the door if that's what she was worried about. I hope that she's got something that she is in love with that doesn't have anything to do with my gray hair that I have now, right? And so my point is, it has to be something that goes deeper. So true communion is not so much all the outward, even though outward is kind of an indication of some of those things, but it's really much deeper than that.
Right.
In other words, you find out that in a relationship, deep relationship, many of those things that really matter are things that are not visible. They're not for a public show. I'll say it that way, right, so you can connect it to the third pool. They're not a public, it's a hidden thing. It's something that sometimes it's not even verbally spoken, but it's there. It's happening. And so these things are true for us in Christ. It's not so much what people can see that, oh, they go to church and they're there every Sunday morning. That's not it, see? That's might be an indication, and that's good, but it goes much deeper than that. And it's that much deeper thing that's really got to be there. Because if it's not there for the long haul, it won't work. See? So that's what we're talking about. So now, we want to be in true communion with God and true communion with each other. So prayer is a daily communication with the Lord. And there's a whole lot of strength that can happen, because I've already said, if that's not there, it's not going to work. But if that's really there, even when the gray hairs come and the shoulders get stooped and those sorts of things, if the real thing's laying there, then that relationship will not suffer. They'll stay together and act as one unit, because they are one unit. because they have true communion. So there's much strength in having true communion and prayer with his church, with the bride of Christ, is a deep communication with him. So you find out that when it's neglected, trouble sets in. And so I said a little bit earlier, that's one reason we have to know that Satan, one reason why he fights us so much with prayer, and he doesn't want us praying. There's got to be a reason. But we've got his word, and we've got the quotes, and we've got the tapes, and we can talk about the mighty things that God has done, and we can even talk about all the revelations of the unfolding and how that Christ is now in his church, and we become him, and now we, and all that. But there's still something we're needing. Right?
Right.
We're still needing that something. And surely if we're believers, there's a craving, there's a hunger down inside our hearts, so we want that something that's more, that's greater, to express him. That we're not satisfied with the level of expression that we have of Christ. I want more of Christ's expression in me. I would that I would be so anointed with the Holy Spirit that if I just walked by people, they'd fall on their knees and repent. I'm not saying that so they'd look at me, but I want to have an influence on people's life. I'm running out of time just like the rest of us. You know, we have a number of days that we're here on earth, and I want to do something for the Lord because he's worthy. So there's got to be a reason why Satan fights prayer so much. And there's got to be a reason why that when Satan, we live in Satan's Eden, right? And he has spent 6,000 years to perfect his Eden. And so everything is made in such a way that it takes prayer out of your life. Don't have time for it. You got other things. Your mind's on other stuff. So there's a reason why Satan has built it that way. And I'd say that 95% of our fight is right here, is what we need to fight to stay in communion with the Lord the way we should. When I read the quotes here in just a minute, as we get through there, you'll begin to see the different aspects of life that could be helped. Different aspects of our walk that could be helped if we follow these guidelines and pray. And there is a proper way to pray. So I'm going to start reading some of these quotes and maybe make comments on them. I told you it wouldn't be here long, but there's 44 quotes. I hope you don't. It's got to where I have to carry these things with me everywhere I go now. Can't believe that. Just in the last couple of years, I remember Rachel saying that she got glasses, and she said when she went to the doctor and, you know, had her eyes checked and they made her some glasses, she put glasses on and she said it was like she now can see in HD quality, you know, high definition. And that's right. Put these on and it's like high definition. I hate glasses, but anyway, I have to have plenty of light and I got to be able to see. So these are written kind of small, but we're going to read them. And you just bear with me. Brother Branham, now, I've got the dates of when these were spoken. If anybody wants to know where they are, I can give you, which will tell you what sermon is. It just doesn't have the sermon title here. But he said, prayer changes things. If you lay your husband or your unsaved one before God and then pray, God will make a way somehow because he's promised to. So there's your loved ones. When you go to praying for someone or somebody, something goes to taking place. And there's where we fail, friends, not praying. Prayer is the keynote. You know what the keynote is? Prayer is the keynote, Brother Branham says. He says, sweeten your temper with prayer. I can tell you that in my own life. If I don't stay hooked up with the Lord, I'll be more apt to get aggravated, which happens, okay? I'm human just like the rest of you. I'm a son of God. I'm saved, but I have a walk to walk. And that walk is better when you walk with the Lord than it is when you don't walk so close to the Lord. I see my daughter shaking her head. apparently she knows that too. God will answer every sincere prayer in his own way. Right? I have to look over the top because I'm blurry like this. So I look over the top to look at you. Look, I know that most of you that are old enough to wear glasses, you know what I'm up against here. Lay aside everything. Just get as close to God as you can. Walk with him. Talk with him. Let everything else be secondary but your prayer life. Stay right with him all the time. Good advice so far, huh? Daniel prayed, but the angel said that he had trouble there and couldn't get to him for 21 days after he made the prayer. And Brother Branham's comment was, so don't be in a hurry, just believe and have faith. Brother Branham says, it's prayer that I depend on. That's the secret of all the mysteries of God. Wow. So we can have all mysteries, we can have all those things, as Paul talked about not having love, but here Brother Branham tells us that prayer is the key to every mystery of God.
Right.
So what happens is prayer is changing you, changing me, somehow to where now we're coming up into what it is that God's program is all about. And he'll speak about this in some of these other quotes that I'm going to read. Does God answer prayer? Yes. Does he answer it real quick? Not all the time. Not all the time, does he? No. Sometimes he makes us wait. Is that right? But God answers prayer. You know, Brother Graham said one place, and it's probably in here, and I don't think I'm going to read it, but he said, I've never prayed a prayer, but what God didn't answer it or tell me why he couldn't. Right? You have to realize that the one we're speaking to is literally a person. It's not an imagination.
Right.
He's a person. And he's a person that's got the greatest character of anyone. Nobody even comes close. So if he's this kind of person, don't you think he's going to answer? Sure he is. Right? But you might have to wait 21 days or however long it is. He's going to answer. He has an answer for you. So if anything today when you walk away, I want you to go away believing. Now, Satan fought me really hard on trying to come and share this with you. But if you go away today, the one thing I want you to remember is that God will answer you.
Amen.
He will. He's a person that's of the highest of characters, and he's not going to leave you hanging. I'll say it this way. If you're a sinner and can't even be saved, if you're not even redeemable, I think he would answer you because of his character.
Right.
See? My kids will ask me something, and I may hear them and may be thinking about what they're and trying to decide what I want to do. And in my process of thinking, never answer them. And it's not because I don't want to. It's just that and next thing you know, something happens and I'm off on another track and I don't even remember. See? She's laughing. Because it's true. Ben's like, mm-hmm. But that's just my weakness as a human. But he ain't going to do that to you.
Right.
Christ ain't going to do that to you. Right? So if you go away with anything today, just remember, he's going to answer your prayer.
Amen.
Right? He may not answer exactly what you want him, and we should never pray for our own will, should always pray for his will. And a true Christian, if they are a true Christian, are happily saying, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen?
Amen? Brother Graham says, I don't sleep very much at night. I love this one. I don't sleep very much at night. Always in prayer. Nighttime, when all the demon power shut down towards morning, when they're not roaming, that's the time the Holy Spirit moves in and talks to me. And I know that to be a fact. that when you get up early in the morning before everybody else is stirring, I think I've said this before, it's a whole lot easier for the Holy Spirit to start speaking to your heart than after everybody's up moving and everything's going on. And so just take it for what he said. This man knows what he's talking about. And there's a reason why it's easier for the Holy Spirit, because when people are laying dormant, so are the demons. Right? And when they're up and at it, so are the demons. And when you've been fighting all day, your mind's filled with all kinds of things and all kinds of spirit that's had tried to jump on, you've been fending off all day, and you come home and you're just, you're wore plumb out and you're exhausted and, you know, you're just overwhelmed. It's not, you know, you're still trying to get that off of you, see? And prayer can do that. So, but it's true. Early every morning. Not everybody's morning people. I understand that. I'm not trying to push for everybody to be up early in the mornings. But you might try it one time if you really need to get a hold of God. You might try it. It might turn out to be something really good for you. I think it would. You might laugh too much. You might talk too much. You may walk too much, but you'll never pray too much. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes death to life. Prayer changes sickness to health. And prayer changes sinner to saints. It's prayer. Get alone. You'll pray a different prayer when you're by yourself than when you're in a public place. I mean, knows that's true.
Right.
Slip alone. All of you. Go out and just have a real secret meeting place where you and the Lord meet several times a day and pray. Now, for those of us who have day jobs, you're going to have two places. But you can have a place at work during lunch that you can slip away. Now, Brother Matt, he might be all kinds of different places, but that place could be his truck, perhaps. I've gone out in my vehicle many times, you know, at lunchtime to get away. And so find you a place and sanctify places. Sanctify a place and a time. I remember hearing a minister talking about going to another minister in his church, and this other minister in his church, it was a pastor, went to this other minister's house, and they went walking through the woods. And anyway, there was a place where this minister would go out and pray every day. And so they went walking through there, and when they got to this place, the pastor of the church didn't know, you know. And so this other brother said, "Well, we're here." He said, where are we at?" He said, "This is it. This is where we pray every day. But the presence of the Lord could be there waiting for you."
Amen.
And that's what prayer does for the believer. That's what it keeps the world out of you. Prayer keeps the world out of you.
Right.
Wow. And now and above all things, keep prayer one for another. And never let the devil show any bitterness anywhere. See, keep your souls pure in this hour. Read at least one chapter in the Bible every day and pray. See, always do that. You could beat her till she didn't have any clothes on her. She'd do it anyhow. But you just lay before God and claim that child's soul for God. Just stay right there with it. And I believe it's the best thing that I know of. Yes, sir. That's the best remedy I know is prayer. If you got wayward children.
Right.
Right? Prayer is not exactly bringing God down to man, but it's bringing man up to God. See? As you pray, you lose sight of earthly things. You sway out into somewhere else, way beyond, on and on and on, until you come into his presence. That's what prayer does. It pulls you away from the earthly. cares of life and puts you into his presence. Prayer from a saint will go a million times higher than an angel. Yes, sir, because he's a son, right? A saint, a child of God is a son. Angels aren't, right? But a prayer from a saint will go much higher than anything an angel can do. Be a real believer. That's really spiritual. Build up. He reads his Bible every day and talks to the Lord. That's right. He has to. I tell you, dear friends, the best way to find the will of God in some important matters is prayer. We find one place there that the Son of God spent much time in prayer. And if Jesus had to spend time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Wow.
Yeah.
If Jesus had to do it, I imagine we probably need to do it too. Get away from this old lukewarm halfway. Say a little prayer of a morning and a little prayer at night and go to bed and get up the next morning. No wonder we're getting worldly. There's going to be a great pressure come one of these days, so you're going to have to pray. Jesus never did tell his people to say a prayer. He said, pray. And I've said this to people before. He didn't say a prayer. He said, pray. And there's a difference. Catholics say a prayer. When we read the scriptures, and they said, like the heathens do, because they think they're going to be heard by their much speaking, they say something over and over and over and over and over. And the Catholics, they'll do so many Hail Marys or so many, you know, because, no, you don't. We don't say prayers. We don't get a book and say, here's a prayer, I'm going to say it.
Right.
No, we pray. We talk to him. We communicate with him. See, you can say prayers all day long and never be in communion with him.
Right.
But when you pray, you're in communion with him. Brother Branham asked the question. He says, you like to pray through and get in the Spirit? That's the only way you can do it. Shut yourself off from the rest of the world and get along with God. It's usually those who pray is the ones who's got a burden, the ones who gets something. It's those who pray that's ordained of God to do so. That's kind of the way he said that's a little bit, but he's saying it's usually the people who pray. They're the ones that are going to get results. They're the ones that usually have a burden on their heart, and they're the ones that are going to get results. There seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. It seems like that we get in a better connection with God and to get alone. And you know, there's something about getting alone to yourself. Fast and pray to get away from it. The more I fast, the uglier sin gets. Just makes it worse till, honest, you can't even go out. And that's true. Apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love. You create a spirit around you of power that when you say something to them, they believe your word. What you say. So he's talking about the token, and that was in the token message in 1963. And he's saying, apply the token with prayer. And so I want to explain how this ties into prayer. So apply the token with prayer. And in the token, he said, you have faith for yourself, then apply that same faith towards your loved one, which you apply that token in prayer. And he's speaking here that you get into prayer. And it changes your spirit and your nature and your character in such a way, and you walk in that so that they believe you when you talk to them. I ever had a time of success of prayer for anyone is when I could enter into the fellowship with them, feel their infirmities, and feel their conditions. You know, idolatry, you know, they worship. A person can have a desire to worship God. And, you know, denominations, you know, the idolaters, they'd create an image of what they thought that God would look like, and they'd come and they'd bow down and worship before that, and they'd even imagine that God would speak to them through that image. And denominational religion creates something that they think God speaks to them out of. It doesn't mean he does. And they may actually believe that he's speaking, right? But the thing about it is, whenever it's a graven image, it don't speak back. It really don't. They might imagine it, but it's dead. It can't do nothing. It has no heart, has no feeling,
right?
But our God is one who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and when we talk to him in prayer, we begin to feel that same thing he does. So if he can be touched by the feeling of the infirmity of our sister's prayer when she prays, if I get close to the Lord in prayer and his anointing, then I'll begin to enter into her burden. So Brother Brim says that's the way to have successful prayer, is to enter into the burden of the one that you're praying for, to have a feeling for that situation. And maybe you're not crippled, but I guarantee you that if you get into the spirit and presence of the Lord, he will put upon you the proper burden and the proper feeling for that infirmity, and your prayer will be much more successful because of that. So that's how you have a successful. How a minister ought to always get alone to himself, even before he preaches, before he prays, before he does anything, he should get along with God in that quiet place and hide away with God. The main thing now, your prayer is to be in secret. Now this goes with the scriptures. Your prayer is to be in secret. Your main long prayer. Pray all, enter into your closet, secret closet, close the door, and there's where you want to pray all day or all night or 2 hours. Pray there. So everybody understand what he's saying there? He said earlier, we read it, okay, we'll pray different prayer when we're alone than we do when we're in public. Now, I'll pray a different way than I do right here when I'm praying, than I do when I'm here with the congregation. When I'm by myself, I'll pray differently. So he said that's important. And so spend your major time of prayer needs to be by yourself, you and the Lord. Not here. But a lot of people come and have a big prayer meeting, okay? I don't have a problem with prayer meetings. But they usually don't turn out to be what they're supposed to be. Okay? I've been to some of these all-night prayer meetings, and it doesn't work out like what it's supposed to. Enter into the secret closet, close the door. There's where you want to pray all day, all night, or 2 hours. Pray there. Get yourself quiet before the Lord. Don't let the washing hinder. Don't let the work hinder. Don't let nothing hinder. Don't let nobody know what you're doing. Because you remember, these guys go out there and stand out on the street so you know that they're praying and knowing that they're fasting. So they have the reward. But there's something about going in secret. And if it's in secret, he's not only is it to be in secret, but he's saying, don't even tell people what you're doing. You steal away quietly where they didn't even know what's going on. Right? So what he's saying. Don't let nobody know what you're doing. Just go before him. Get up in the woods somewhere. Get out on the side of the road. Go into the secret closet. Close the door. When the kids are at school, there, get down on your knees. Sacrifice your time for prayer. Sacrifice your life. If you turn Jesus down in your home and quit having family prayer, quit having Bible readings and so forth in your home, look for trouble to come in. Anytime the devil wants to gobble you up, he's got you under his control. When he cuts your prayer life, brother, you're gone. That's right. Brother Bram says they ought to have prayed. They ought to have had a prayer meeting, and that's the best thing I know to quieten your nerves. If you ever get nervous and uptight, the best thing he knew to quieten was to go to prayer.
Right.
We're almost there, I think. And you know there's something about it when you pray for someone real sincere, you know, it kind of makes them restless. God begins to move in answer to prayer. And sometimes that husband becomes more irritable than ever. But just remember, God's answering prayer. He knows how to do it. I think it was Zacchaeus that his wife began to pray for him. He got all irritable, I think. But that's what he's saying, is that a lot of time when you go to praying for somebody, they're going to start getting worse. Right? Because now the Holy Spirit is beginning to deal with them. And whatever the Spirit is anointing them to do and to be bad, obviously they have something wrong. You're praying for them, right? If they're a sinner, he's talking about. So they got something wrong, and you go to praying for them. Well, now they start acting up, and things get even worse. But he said, when that happens, just remember, God's answering that prayer. Keep right on doing it. Keep right on going. Do you realize if we go before God in the name of Jesus Christ, it's just the same as Jesus himself praying? Did you know that? That's what he says. It isn't me praying anymore. And then I go to the Father in Jesus' name. It isn't me anymore. It's Jesus. It's his Spirit praying through me. Wow. Probably get some pretty good results with that. Mm-hmm. If it's Christ in you, pray. So there's another reason. You don't just pray, but you pray until you get off out into that realm where now you're in his presence and now you're anointed. And then your prayer becomes him. Now he's praying. Probably going to get some results when that happens.
Yeah.
Have enough faith in God to believe for yourself, then believe for your children also. That same faith will save your children that saved you if you just keep praying. Jesus prayed that the church and he would be one like he and the Father were one. God in his church till every member is just exactly in harmony with each other and God. And that's the church that Jesus is coming for. That's when his prayer will be answered. For us to be one with him. It's not how we pray with our lips. It's the motive the motive of our heart is what God hears. He sometimes don't hear our lips, but he hears the intentions, what the motive of our heart is. Three more. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear my prayer, said David. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is something that you know that you're doing, that you ought not to do it, and you still won't repent of it. Pray every day. Don't make any decision too harshly or too quickly without considering God about it. Ask him, shall I do this, Father? Ask him, is this your will for me to do this? Boy, that's a good one. Don't make any decision too harshly or too quickly. Should always consider the Lord. Always go to the Lord. I was explaining to Benjamin one time about maybe, you know, buying a four-wheeler. Well, we eventually got one from friends. But I said, you know, just because you got money that you could go out and buy one don't mean you want to go buy one, a four-wheeler or something like that, a car or whatever it is. You just don't go do it because you got it. I said, I like to pray. I like to put it before the Lord. And that's the way I've done with our vehicles. You know, what we've bought, the last several vehicles we've bought have been used vehicles, but I've always asked the Lord to provide, and he always come along and made it, and it was always a very good deal for us because we always put it before him. But from the time we pray until the time we get an answer, we must learn to receive patience into our souls, for only in patience do we possess life. Amen. Now, I said a while ago, I'll tie this together and then we'll close. And that last one right there, he said, only in our patience, right, do we possess life. So you have, enter into prayer and you learn patience, waiting on God to answer that prayer. But I said earlier, when you're in communion, a man or woman, they come into communion, the life comes from that. That's life comes from that. And when a person can enter into prayer and believe God and trust God, there's life that comes from that kind of relationship. You will see God do things for your family, for your loved ones, for your friends. You'll see Him do the miraculous. You'll see all kinds of things that God will do. You'll see life resident in your life and the life around you and those around you if you enter into prayer with God. Amen. And so we'll read one last scripture, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And you probably know it. Very short one. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Amen. Just simply means to stay in communion with God. Right? It's the most wonderful time. Why on earth? You know, well, I said Satan fights you, you know, but you know, usually when somebody likes something, they try to spend a lot of time doing it. And it's such a wonderful thing. It's kind of a paradox. Such a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord, and yet it's the hardest, one of the hardest things to do. But anyway, I trust that this has helped you, that you'll go home today, and prayer will be a little bit more. You'll have a focus to do it and remember these things. Every one of those quotes, I see a reason why, you know. And I said a while ago that there's aspects of your life that He addresses in all those. So if you have a problem with your temper, go to prayer. God will smooth that thing out for you. You got rough edges on you, go to prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So let's let the musicians come. Beautiful day outside, so we'll let you out early so you can go and enjoy the sunshine. Because next weekend it might not be that way. And then let's just bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, we're just wanting to ask God that You would help us, Lord, in these things that we've heard this morning. So many good points, so many good quotes, and just the whole concept of what our communication with You and what it holds. And Lord, we know Satan fights us so much, but I'm asking God for a special blessing upon this congregation, each one. Lord, that even if it's just for a little while, so that they might learn to fight more in this area, I'm asking God that You would give each one of them a sweet season of prayer in their life. Lord, that they would begin to see how powerful this is and how wonderful it is. I'm asking God that You would do that it would instill great strength in their walk from day to day. Lord, that they begin to see victories over things that has been many years coming. Give them faith and give them the confidence, Lord, and the ability, the patience to wait, knowing, God, that You are answering their prayers. And that would mean no matter what it is, whether it's a wayward loved one or a sickness that's been around for a long time or whatever it may be, Lord, we just give it all to You and trust that You will answer. We love You, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this for a while.
I bless You.